This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dearest brothers and sisters, I'd like to start with a short story from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ regarding a man whose name is Tufail ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu. This man, before becoming a Muslim, he was a tribal leader known for his intelligence and his authority. And when he came to visit Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ was in his 10th year of his mission. And the Quraysh were very eager to make sure that nobody sat with him and listened to him. And so when Tufail arrived at Mecca, the elites of Quraysh, they welcomed him and they warned him against this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, claiming that he was a sorcerer, that his words would bewitch anyone who listened to him. And this scared Tufail, to the point that he took cotton wool and placed it in his ears when he visited the Kaaba, afraid to listen to the words of this man. And when he walked past the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at him, saw him speaking to others, and he thought to himself, I am an intelligent person. How can I be so silly as to block my ears? Surely I should be able to listen to his words and tell for myself whether he's a truthful man or a liar. And so he sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spoke to him, asked him about the message of Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained and then recited the Quran to him. And at that, Tufail became convinced that he's not a liar, this man is truthful, and he became convinced and he became a Muslim. And thereafter he went back to his people and he spoke to his wife and his family, and they also embraced Islam. And though his people initially refused to accept the message, many years later, they also all became Muslim. Now, what do we learn from this story? We learn first and foremost that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was something called a propaganda machine. The Quraysh, they were busy trying to deceive the masses, trying to brainwash the people so that they would not listen to the truth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we also learn that though there was a lot of propaganda going on in those days, there were also people out there who were critical thinkers who said, I will not follow just because others follow. I will ask questions and I will seek the truth, even if that means going against the status quo. And that is Tufail ibn Amr. Now, if we look at our times, we find that there is also propaganda in our times. Something called the propaganda machine is working every single day. It is comprised of the government, of popular media outlets, and other institutions as well. And sometimes you find that they aggressively propagate certain messages and ideas, such as the ideas to do with atheism, to do with feminism, to do with capitalism and consumerism, and many other ideas, many of which are against Islamic values. The propaganda machine also has the power to cancel certain individuals or organizations it deems are speaking against it, are going against the status quo. This can happen in many ways. For example, the law can target certain individuals, label them as being extreme, as being hate preachers, and even convict them and send them to jail, silencing them. Now, I emphasize my words here. Innocent people being targeted. Not people that are guilty, people that are innocently targeted. And we know of many individuals in this country, in the USA, that were sent to jail, convicted of such things, only later on to be released after having meant much of their life taken away, and the government said, we got it wrong with this person. This person was in fact innocent. And there are other ways in which people are cancelled. For example, the giant social media platforms will sometimes collude together to take away the voice of a particular person or an organization because it is speaking against the messaging of the propaganda machine. So these people are often very influential. Organizations are often very influential. But what they are saying doesn't fall in line with the story they want us to believe. And this is also very significant, because in today's day and age, one of the main ways to influence people is through social media. And so if they took away your account, if they took away your voice, you are left voiceless. And so the impact of the propaganda machine is actually huge. Now, if we go back in history, we look at Hitler. We see, very interestingly, in the very first week or two of him coming to power, what they did is that they set up something called the Department of Enlightenment and Propaganda, and quickly began to spread messages to the masses that played on their weaknesses and their aspirations, wanting to convince them of some certain ideas. And eventually they turned their attention to the Jewish community, blaming them for all the failures of that government, until they successfully scapegoated them. And what ended up happening was the Holocaust, the death of thousands, if not millions, of people. How did the people of that country turn against others who they lived amongst to exterminate them? A slow, perpetual propaganda machine. But even if you come closer to home, and not that many years ago, in this country in 2003, the UK government joined a coalition to wage war on Iraq. A war that resulted in the death of somewhere between 174 to 207,000 people. Imagine that number of people that have lost their lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that of all the Muslimin that died as a consequence, and Allah accept them as shuhada, and that they are given justice on the day of judgment. Allahumma ameen. Did you know that in this country, UK Gov polls show that 54% of people were in support of that war? That's half of everyone in this country was supporting our government to go to war. Now obviously people realized after the damage had been done that they went to war on a pack of lies. It was made up. Evidence was not real. But it's very interesting that even after the war, and even after finding out what had really gone on, only 37% of people recall supporting the war, though it was clearly much more than that. So they ask, well, are these people lying? Only 37% of people confess to supporting it, even though it was much higher. They say, no, actually, people cannot accept that they would ever have supported the war. But they did. How so? They were duped by the propaganda machine. The messaging was so strong and so continuous that people felt that the threat of being harmed by that man in that country was so imminent that we must go to war. And so they supported it, even though it was illegal, and even though it left such tragedy in its wake. Now, what do we learn from this? What we learn from this, my brothers and sisters, is that we are always being influenced by such messaging, by such propaganda. And it has the power to shape our views, our beliefs, and the big decisions that we make in life. But as Muslims, what should be our stance? How should we understand this reality that we are living in? Well, first and foremost, do not think that you somehow are immune to such propaganda. You are affected just like everybody else. So what needs to be done? As Muslims, we should be critical thinkers. What that means is, we do not accept information without verifying it, without asking for evidence, without asking the tough questions to get to the truth, especially if it is about something significant, especially if as a result some lives could be taken. And this is something that we find in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, He tells us that you shouldn't just take information passively without checking it first. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ. Believers, if a wicked person were to bring you some significant news, check it. Check it before you accept it. Otherwise, you may end up harming people. Subhanallah. Now think about that. How often is it the case that you receive a message, maybe on WhatsApp, on social media, it seems amazing, and what do? You pass it on straight away. You forward it on straight away, without bothering to say, is this really true? This seems to be something to do with the deen of Islam. Have I even bothered to check whether this is authentic or not? You've just sent it on. Do you know that the scholars, they say that passing on information without checking it is almost like lying? Because people will think it is truthful because you said, you passed it on. So when it comes to hearing things from the media or from the government, what I am not saying is that we should disbelieve in everything that is said to us, that we should become conspiracy theorists. We don't accept anything. No, what I am saying is that we should ask for the evidence first. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. As Allah says, say, bring forth your evidence if you are truthful. This is a culture to ask the right questions before you accept significant information. And having this type of culture makes you an independent thinker, makes you a critical thinker, not sheep that go with the flow. And this is something that we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look at this man, subhanallah. Did you know that for the longest time, Ibrahim alayhi salam was the only Muslim amongst his people? Everybody else was steeped in idol worship, immorality and indecency. And yet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't go with the flow. He criticized people. Allah says that he would say, قَالَ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. He would say to them, do you really worship beneath Allah things that have no power to benefit or to harm you? Shame on you. And that which you worship besides Allah, do you not have any understanding, any sense? One man, Ibrahim alayhi salam, would not accept the messaging of everybody else when it came to something as significant as what we should believe in our life. And not only that, he had the courage to say, I don't accept this. I question this. Is this really the truth? And this is how we should be. We should be independent in our thinking and critical when it comes to accepting messages that sound very dubious and are especially against the values of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for understanding. وَقُولْ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Oftentimes in society, things begin to trend, certain ideas. Those ideas seem to be pushed more and more aggressively, sometimes down our throats. One of those ideas is called feminism. Now, this is something that many of us must have learned about when we were in school. And it's very interesting that initially feminism was about the suffragette movement, where women were trying to win the right to vote, a noble goal. And it's interesting that I remember learning about this in school, and I said to myself, subhanAllah, the right to vote and basic rights that they are fighting for was already afforded to them by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than 1,000 years ago. But in today's day and age, feminism is not so much about that than it is about other things that are becoming even more extreme and militant. The most extreme messaging we find from people espousing to be feminists, or the most extreme strand, is this idea that is basically pure hatred of men and all things male. You find such people saying things like, all men are, and you can fill in the blank, words that cannot be repeated from any Muslim. All men are like this, all men are like that. Essentially degrading men and the creation of men. No Muslim could ever say such things. No Muslim, even a rational person, would know that stereotyping a whole creation is absurd. But then there are levels to this. A more popular strand of feminism, which I believe is affecting many Muslims, is this idea that there is actually no difference between a man and woman. They are the same. There is no difference whatsoever. And anything a man can do, a woman should be able to do. And anything a woman can do, a man should be able to do. There's no difference whatsoever. And anyone who says contrary is shamed as misogynistic. The problem with this idea is that it's not in line with reality. There is clear differences between a man and woman that has started at the womb, subhanAllah. There are physiological differences between a man and a woman. There are also psychological differences as well. The emotional makeup of a woman is different to that of a man. And even on a neurological level, the brain that Allah has created, there are studies to show that it is different in men as compared to women. And so there are many differences between men and women. They are not the same. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كُلْ أُنْثَ, that the man is not like the woman. They are different. But what is very interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. Listen to this. Allah says, do not crave what Allah has given some over others. Men will be rewarded for what they have earned, and women will be rewarded for what they have earned. SubhanAllah. Don't try to compete with each other's roles. Allah said that in the Quran. Why? Because you were not created to do certain things. In Islam, the man provides, not the woman. In Islam, the man goes on jihad, not the woman. But then women are supposed to do certain things that men do not have to do. Why? Because that is how Allah created us. Different dispositions for different roles. Very simple. As Muslims, we should be embracing these differences. Because these differences, if you think about it, this is what makes a woman attractive to a man, and what makes a man attractive to a woman. It is these differences. These differences are what make us need one another. If we were all the same, men and women, we would not need each other. And if we didn't need each other, we would not marry one another. And if we didn't marry one another, we would have no family. There would be no future. Subhanallah. Whoever understands this will be able to see the evil in such ideologies, that they are designed to disrupt the family. And the beauty of Islam is that it teaches us that you are different and you have different roles, and you should embrace that. The more you embrace that, the stronger your families will be. And the more productive children you will have, that will set a brighter future for the rest of society. This, my brothers and sisters, is a lesson on being critical in your thinking. Because what they want is for us to be sheep, listen and obey. But the only one we listen and obey is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else. We will not be passive. We will not go with the flow. We will ask the right questions to follow the truth. Because that is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do. Ask for the evidence, ask the right questions, and follow the haqq, whether it's for you or against you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and our minds from these corrupt ideologies. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us critical in our thinking, just like Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts from these ideas that are taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These ideas that are destroying our families. And in its place, we ask Allah to restore it with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The teachings that will bring us closer to Allah and make us happy in this dunya and the akhirah. Allahumma ameen. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا